Well, praise the Lord. This Thursday is Thanksgiving, as everybody knows. Everybody's getting prepared. And just like all the other holidays, always a rush. It's always a rush to get things prepared. Matter of fact, we this Wednesday canceled our Bible class because we want other people to enjoy their time with their family, which is what it's part of Thanksgiving is. And it's very interesting, the songs, the service, and I know the people on the internet do not always hear everything that goes on before we do the message, but everything is leading up to this message, which is very interesting because even the songs picked were exactly already in the message. So God has a reason for this message today. Now, some of this, part of this message, most people already know because it's something everybody hears probably almost every year about Thanksgiving. But I hope there's some other things I can show to you by looking in the scriptures that you may not have seen. Now, going to the United States history, a day was set aside every year for Thanksgiving. And the reason for this was to thank God for his provision, for protecting us through the year. And so in 1621, and how many people were there at this time? Oh, no hands up this time. I'm not sure about that on some of us. No, just kidding. But in 1621, the pilgrims at Plymouth, Massachusetts, actually celebrated their first Thanksgiving in the United States. But was Thanksgiving, was that the first Thanksgiving? We're going to find out, no. But this was a time of thanking God because the year before, the pilgrims that came here, half of them starved to death. Half of them starved to death. They couldn't survive the plagues that actually came from that big travel over to the United States. The disease-infested ship. Everybody talks about, oh, how great the Mayflower is. It wasn't that great. It was a creaky old ship. And people were dying even on the ship. And when they got landed over to Plymouth, actually at Cape Cod, a lot of the people that first year, even after dying, didn't even leave the ship because there was so much problems with that winter that they knew they couldn't survive it. And so half the people died. But God provides a way. The native Indians that were in that area, there was one that was actually taken as a servant a long time ago, shipped back to Europe. He learned how to speak English and came back. And he met the pilgrims at that time. And his tribe actually showed them how to hunt deer, turkey. Everybody loves turkey, right, on Thanksgiving? Showed them how to cultivate corn correctly. Also, which plants to stay away from, because you eat some of these deadly plants, it's going to kill you. They lived in that territory. They knew that area. Even the streams, they even showed them how to fish in those streams because they didn't know how to fish for trout like they did. They may think of throwing a pole in. It's a little different. And so sometimes we need help. And guess what? These people were not believers at the time. You know, God does not have to have a Christian to show a Christian how to do godly things and how to help us out at times. And we know in the world we sit there and we see unbelievers that seem to prosper so many times. And we're like, why them? And why not Casey over there who's a Christian? Well, you know what? God has a plan for Casey and he has a plan for that person that's not saved. His plan for that person not saved is to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we can still look at God's blessing even when you're not saved. Yes, if you're listening to this and you're not saved, you can still thank God for every breath you have. You can thank God for creating you. You can thank God that just because you're not a Christian, he still allows the sun to come up and bless the unsaved as well as the saved. And that's the time that God's given you to be able to come to know him. We have a good history around Thanksgiving. As I said, in 1621, Governor Bradford, after that harsh winter, they made a feast. And that feast was not just for the believers. It was for also the tribes, the Indian tribes that helped them. They invited them. In this church, do we just go out and look for other Christians, or we're looking for the lost, which Jesus told us to go, what he came for? He says, I didn't come to save the righteous, but the lost to repentance. And that's our job. This is a family. As they say, the church is a hospital for sinners. That's what it is. Come on in. You're sick. You're hurting. We're here to show you how you can be healed from that sin. And that's through Jesus Christ. Not only was it a time of feasting, it was also a time of fasting. The Sabbath, on the Sabbath before, they sit there and fasted beforehand in prayer together, thanking God. And for those who did not have enough, the Thanksgiving meal wasn't just to hoard it onto ourselves, but for those that didn't have much, they came and they got to partake. This is actually part of the Jewish offerings as well. When the Jews talked about the tithing, they said, you go, and if you the place be too far from you, you take money. And then when you get to the place where God has called you, to where he put his name on, then you go up and you buy the lamb, you buy the food and the wine and the things that you desire. And in that, you ate of it, your family ate of it, the priests within your gates that had no pay, the Levites, and the poor, the lame, and the maimed. The widows, the orphans. My wife's even telling me, but make sure I don't forget anything. But I love her. She's so good. That's why she's my helpmate. But anyhow, every part of that was not just for you. The tithe, when we talk about 10%, a lot of people teach that a little bit wrong. But it's to provide for the whole family of God. That's what it's for. For those that are hurting, that's who we should be helping. And we all don't have bunches of money in this church, but you know what? God has blessed us. Believe it or not, Thanksgiving is in the Bible many times, and it's not limited to one day, but it should be every part of our lives. We should always give thanks. And one of the songs we sang today, He Has Made Me Glad. If you got your Bibles, if you turn to Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5, most people already know this by heart. Yeah, people were wondering when I was going to get to the Bible. There are some verses in this message. And Pastor said this right before our praise service. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, and know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. It wasn't just the pilgrims. It wasn't just the Jews. It was for all nations. All nations. All generations. So when we should enter in his praise, enter into his presence, enter into his gates, we should have thanksgiving in our heart. Being thankful then. Every time you come in there. A lot of people, you think of your prayer list. What am I going to remember? I got to pray for sister, brother, brother so-and-so, John so-and-so. But how about first thanking him? Thank him first. I mean, we all have our prayer list, but we should be thanking God first. You know, he's blessed us so abundantly that sometimes we forget the obvious. And if you look in our own lives, if somebody does something for you and you can't pay them back, what is the least you can do? Say thank you. Those two words. A lot of people, when they do things, they look for recompenses. Like, I'm going to bless somebody with something, that way I can get something back later. That's a business world. That's a business mind. But in God's way of doing things is to give expecting nothing in return. The thank you is enough. And you know what? We can't repay God for what he's done for us. So we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Now, there's a lot of times people say thanks, and they're basically just telling you, thanks, get away from me. You ever go to a store, and you're in line, and the person at the cashier, thanks, thanks, next, thanks, next, thanks, next, thanks, next. They don't really thank you for their business. You're just the next person in line. Yes, they're doing their job, but you know what? Do you really appreciate it? How about those cashiers you get to know? Oh, every once in a while they'll talk to you in line. Sometimes drives the person behind you, or if you're the one in line, they talk to the person in front of you. They're a little bit more personable, but you sort of remember them because they care about people. They're talking about people. Here in the South, you see that a little bit more than up North. It's not the next in line, but, hey, how are you doing today? Haven't seen you for a week. How are you doing? Sometimes it gets maybe a little too long, but I mean, you feel appreciated, and you know that they appreciate your business, and they appreciate you, and that's really important. So Thanksgiving in the Bible, when was the first Thanksgiving? I'm going to do a quiz here. I want you to remember every name I said. No, I'm just kidding. That'd be way too much. But the book of Nehemiah was talking about building a wall to protect the house of the Lord. And so as they were doing it, they had to fight. And there's something I thought was really interesting when I was reading this. And so starting with verse 17, and it says, "And Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph." All right, you guys got that memorized? Just kidding. Oh, got one that said he does. Not okay. "Was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer." Uh-oh. This is over 2,000 years. Maybe about 2,500 years that they said the thanksgiving in prayer. It sounds like they had set aside a day to thank God. And that's amazing when we think of how Thanksgiving, there's actually Thanksgivings in Europe, different days. Canada celebrates a Thanksgiving. There's all nations celebrate Thanksgiving in different ways. But here we find in the Bible that they celebrated Thanksgiving in prayer. It's not they gave the prayer of Thanksgiving. They celebrated Thanksgiving in prayer. And you know what? That's the way we should be doing it. We should, when we have Thanksgiving meals and everything else through this next Thursday, we should be doing it, beginning it in prayer. That's Nehemiah 11:17. We should be thanking him for what he has done for us. Today, we sang a song, and I was going to say, in my message, I says we sometimes sing this song, but today we sang a song, Give Thanks. Some of the words to this song really melds to my heart every time I hear it, especially the first part of the chorus where it says, give thanks with a grateful heart. A grateful heart. Remember we were talking about that cashier? That's not grateful, but appreciative. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he has given Jesus Christ his Son. Isn't that enough to be thankful for? Is that enough to be thankful for? Amen. Giving thanks with a truly grateful heart so much than just words. In the Bible, there were actual offerings of thanksgiving. And it was a free will offering. In Leviticus 20, you don't have to turn here because it's a quick one, and I'm not going to read everything about the thanksgiving offering. But in Leviticus 22:29-30, And when you shall offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it of your own free will. See, that's important. God doesn't want you to be coerced to thank him. He wants you to do it out of your own heart, a grateful heart. A grateful heart comes from trusting the Lord and being content with the things he's provided you. And so, a truly godly life is the one that trusts God. And if you could turn to 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6, verse 1. And a lot of places people do not want to read this, especially when it comes to part of the prosperity teachings of the day. God does bless us with financial things and with other types of blessings, but it's not always what God intends for us. It says here that many as the servants that are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine, his teaching, be not blasphemed or spoken against. And they that have believing masters, and this was a time that they had slavery, so it wasn't really a good thing, because also Paul wrote that if any chance, opportunity to be free, gain your freedom. But he says, to them that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. And here come on verse 3 of 1 Timothy 6. It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. A lot of people think because you have a lot of substance that you are blessed by God, but if you think that's godliness, you're mistaken. You can have a lot of stuff and still be godly, but if you think because of how much you acquire is godliness, you're wrong. And what does it say here? And this is something that I really would stress to those of the prosperity message. This is the word of God, and it is not wrong. It is pure. And even the people in the prosperity gospel will say that, but they say pieces of it. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourself. Separate yourself from these type of people. They'll tear you down where you'll start seeking things instead of seeking God. It even goes further. But godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm content with the things that I have. For we brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. But they that will fall, that will be rich, fall into temptations and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And before I go further, money is not evil. It's the love of it. If that's your desire, that's what you want, that's all you're working for, not how you use it, it's evil. It's evil in your life. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith. We shouldn't be coveting money. We should be coveting God. We should be coveting God. And see where was I here? Some have come and erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Well, you know this is true, because what happens to the rich men that all they care about is money? All they're worried about is protecting it. If I'm going to give it to a charity, how much percentage is the government going to give me off of it? That's all they care about. And they're so worried about protecting what is theirs that they don't live life. They don't enjoy what God has given them. God gave you wealth. Praise God. Use it the way God intended you to use it. And enjoy it. He's given us all things to enjoy. Not to sit there and try to protect it with all our might. There's other things we want to if we want to guard. Guard the word in your heart. And instead of having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. That's what the Lord promised us. If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. And when he said that in Matthew 6:33, he talked about how God so clothed the field that the grass which is thrown around, it comes back. It keeps coming back. The seed's there. The sowing and reaping process is the seed, and the seed is the word of God. And that's what we need to grow by, is the word of God. So we should be giving thanks for all these things. Sometimes people are so overwhelmed of God's blessings in the midst of enjoying them, though, they forget to give thanks. A person gets healed. I'm healed. I'm going to go see all my friends. I'm going to see all everybody else. But forget to give thanks to God. And yes, it's wonderful when people are healed. The lame, the crippled, the leper, which we're going to look at right now in Luke 17:11-19. And Terry and I was talking about this in the car. And it's like, oh, that's good. I'm putting that in the message. And here it says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, talking about Jesus, and he passed by the midst of Samaria unto Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar. Now, the reason they stood afar, if somebody had the disease of leprosy, they could not come and affect the other people. So they were told to stay away from the normal outside the camp. And if anybody ever comes by them, they would yell, unclean, unclean. That way they won't affect somebody else that is not affected. It's the same way right now. Somebody that's got a cold, they got the flu, they come to somebody, and you see everybody go from one side of the house to the other because they don't want to catch that cold. So, and leprosy was a very destructive disease, which actually destroyed the flesh, fingers fell off, everything else. It's a horrible disease. And so, they stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, so they're not close to Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So they're yelling, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That's all they said. That's all they said. They didn't say, go in a big dialogue. Here at church, a lot of times when people want healing, oh, what do you want to be healed of? Well, I got this. And an hour later, you're still going through the diseases. And all they said is, have mercy on me. Jesus can look upon them and say, okay, I know you're a leper. You know, Jesus can look at you and can tell you, I know everything that's wrong with you, and I can heal you of all your diseases, as the scripture says. And so when he saw them, Jesus said unto them, go show yourself to the priests. Now, for a leper, the only way they were actually considered cleansed is once the priest do their check to make sure the disease is in check and was not going to spread anymore. They had to go through a bunch of different rituals. And in those rituals, if the hair was white or whatever color it was, he would pronounce them clean. So only when the priest pronounced them clean, they were considered cleansed. Even though they could have already been cleansed, we need to make sure that before you get back into the public, that everything's done. We're going to burn all your clothes, get you new clothes. We're going to make sure your house is clean, everything else. That way you will not get affected again or affect others. Now, the thing is, there's a little play in words here as we go along here. And it came to pass that they which were cleansed, so they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He didn't even go to church. He did not, was not part of our denomination. Who is this person? He didn't believe exactly the way we do. But he came down to Jesus' feet. And he gave him thanks. He gave him thanks. And Jesus answered him and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger, this person that was not part of our denomination. He was the one that came back. Now look at this play of words here. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. The others were not made whole. The disease was in check. They were healed. Whatever was hurting stopped, for they cannot affect others and go in the public. But their body was not made completely whole. They were healed of the disease. And you know, a lot of people we know that have cancer that went in remission or different types of diseases that still took an effect on a person's body that were not completely healed, but had stopped the pain to a certain point. Arthritis is one of the ones that gets a lot of people that sometimes if you take certain treatments, it's easy to be able to tolerate because it's a stop at a certain part for certain medicines. Well, that's what happened to them. They were no longer going to be able to affect other people, the 9 one, but the 10th person, he was made whole. If he had a finger missing from this disease, it came back. His flesh that was sitting there hurt from all that disease, that was so leprous, crinkled and decayed, even though he was no longer going to be able to sit there and infect each other and it was no longer going to hurt him anymore, this guy's was made whole. It came back. Giving thanks has its rewards as well. God looks at if people are thankful and grateful, the same as this leper. In Philippians chapter 2:2-8, it says, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded. That's all of us, church. That's the church in large, all brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord. And I'm not talking about a car, if anybody's thinking about that. It's not a Honda. Being in one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, church, and this is what we need to do, is to let each esteem others better than themselves. How much would the word prosper if the church in whole would do this? They care about others before themselves. It even goes further and says, and look not every man to his own things, but every man also to the things of others. I'm not trying to prosper myself. I'm trying to prosper you. I know people that are hurting. You try to help them out. Ain't that great to be able to see being done in the church? Wouldn't that be awesome to see? You know how quick the church would be out of debt and the people would be able to provide for others if we all did that as a body? Not just this local body, but all the churches together, obeying what the word says. The word says that. And so Jesus gives us an example. He says, look not on every man to his own things, but every man also to the other thing. Let this mind be in you. And I want to, before you hear this, read the whole scripture. Because some people stop at one part of it. says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's where a lot of people stop reading. They stop reading and it says, I'm equal with God. I can do everything God does. You're not God. And you haven't finished reading the verse. Context, context, and context. You're not equal with God. This is the mind that the Lord wants you to have. That even in God and Jesus himself shown as an example that not he who was equal with God because he was God, it says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant and was made unto the likeness of man. God came down as man. He humbled himself. We couldn't bring ourselves to his level if we wanted to, but he came down to our level to bring us up. Praise God. Praise God. We can't do that. And he took on the servant of himself as a form of a servant. He said, I've come here to serve. He'll take the basin. He'll sit there and grab the cloth and he'll wash the feet of the people he was teaching. You call me Lord and Master, he said, but I came as one to serve. Isn't it great we have such a wonderful Lord? Thank him for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is so good. And then it goes on further. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do you know what? If Jesus did not submit unto death, that cross could have never killed him. But he did that for us. We have a lot to be thankful for. And this is the mind he wants for us. That is the mindset we should have, is to esteem others better than ourselves. He says, no greater love hath no man than this, but to lay down his life for his friends. And then he called them his friends. He wants us to have that same love for one another, to sit there and lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters if need be, to sit there and esteem them better than ourselves. And I know so many times it's really hard because, you know what, we got family we need to take care of too. And he that does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. Family first, and then the church family as well, your physical and your spiritual family. In a little bit, which was surprising that, like I said, this message is so perfectly together. We're going to be doing communion in a little bit. And the scripture talks about the communion of the Lord. And one of the things that the Lord has given us is to show thanks. In 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26, it says, for I have received of the Lord that which was delivered unto me, that the Lord Jesus, the same night when which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the wine also. And he drank of it. And when he's up, after he's given thanks. You notice he gave thanks for the bread and he blessed it. He blessed and thanked God. He didn't really bless the bread. A lot of people think that he blesses the bread. But he's thanking the God who gave us the bread. The God of the universe to give us the bread. When you look in the scriptures, there it talks about how he blessed bread. But it says in there, if you look at the words, there's two words for bless in the Greek. One is makarios, which means to say something good about, be happy. But the other one is eulogeo, which means to give thanks and to invoke a benediction. And so that's where we get the word eulogy from. And he looked up toward heaven and he blessed the Lord for the bread and the fishes is basically how that should be interpreted. We should always thank the Lord for the things we've received. Psalms 91 says it is good to give thanks to the Lord. It's good to give thanks for the Lord. And how often should we do that? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing in everything. How many things? Everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God and Jesus Christ concerning you. You want to know what the will of God is? Give him thanks. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. He wants to hear from his children, and he wants to hear us giving him thanks. Praise God. And who are we supposed to be giving thanks for? Our brothers, our sisters, our enemies. Uh-oh. In 1 Timothy 2:1 through 2, it says, I exhort you therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Not some, all. God's created every man, the righteous and the unrighteous. He created them all. And he has a purpose for them all. They may not all live up to his expectations. Do you? Think about that. They may not all come to him, but we should thank God for them, because he has a plan for them. Even though it may not be the purpose we see, they may not walk in that plan, God made them. For King Supreme, for president that we don't even think is godly in this country, we should give thanks to God. Because you know what? Ultimately, there's nothing in this world that's going to change what God's going to do. He's going to complete his work that he began in each one of us in this world. He's going to complete it regardless of who's in office, regardless who's in control at the UN, regardless of what other nations are doing. God's going to complete this work, and we should give thanks for all of these people. And as we're getting ready to close here, talks about blessing the bread, giving thanks to it. It also says in Ephesians 1:5 through 16, wherefore I also, when I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love unto the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, mentioning of you in all our prayers. You know, when we pray for each other, it's really important. I'm giving thanks for each one of you, is what Paul is saying. I've heard of your faithfulness. I've heard the work that you've done. And I thank God for it. We should be thanking God for each person that he's given here to be part of the family of God. One day, it's not going to be the same thing. And I'm going to cut my message a little short with Isaiah 51:3, where thanksgiving will be every day. It says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like a garden of the Lord. Oh, praise God. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and a voice of a medley, of a melody. It's not a melody when I sing it. It's a joyful noise. But I tell you what, God has a purpose for each one of us. And he wants us to be thankful, not just to him, but to each other, those that he puts in his path. And we should be thankful that for everything he's given us. He's given us life. He's given us the next breath. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us so much. He's given you the clothes on your back. He's given you the opportunity to be able to make wealth, to be able to provide for your family. And you know what? He still cares for each one of you. I'm going to end with the priestly blessing. And the Jews have been doing this for years. And what it is telling how much God loves you. God told Aaron how he wants to bless his children. And what he told Aaron was, how I want you to bless these children. That you should say these words over them. Most people know these words in English, so I'm going to say them in both and close with prayer. But it is important that as we look at this, to see how much God loves us, and we should be thankful for how much he loves us, because this is the heart of God. So it goes like this. V'yarekaka Yahweh v'yishmereka. Ya'er Yahweh panavileka v'huneka. Yasa Yahweh Pana vileka viasim lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. He's going to keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Ain't that great? God wants to be, he wants to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Jesus said, my peace I give you. And that's what he wants, even from the Old Testament. Shalom, complete peace. Father, we just thank you for this time together, Lord. And I do thank you for all that you've given. We give you thanks for the opportunity as a family to be able to worship you and to be your servants and to be your children, God, to be partakers of your family. And we just give you so much glory and thank you so much for what you've done. As we come together this Thanksgiving, Lord, I pray right now, Father, that you will be first on our thoughts and in our prayers, Lord, before we get busy worrying about the meal, Lord. And that, Lord, we would learn to always put you first. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and you're listening to this message, you can still be thankful. You can be thankful now that you have the opportunity to come into the fold. It's really simple. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And the Lord knows it. It's not something we can hide from him. He knows our hearts. And if right now you want to come part of that family, all you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my life. Take away my sins and be my Savior and my Lord. And he'll do that. It's that simple. And you can thank him. He's given you the opportunity, and I thank God for giving you that opportunity right now. And if you've made that decision, just write us a note on our website and let us know. That way we can converse with you. And if you need any, have any special prayers, let us know that, and we'll pray for you. And so, with all that said, go with God and be blessed. In Yeshua's name, amen.